were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. The white sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came, the choices I denied, I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Beloved, I think that is a great way to start our Easter Resurrection Sunday service, don't you? one of my favorites of Don Francisco from a long time ago. There's so many wonderful Resurrection Sunday service songs or songs that have been written over the years. But I really like that one. It's sort of modern and contemporary, and it says it all. And, of course, I can't help but to watch that one. And also Ray Bolt's I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb, which I've sung many times. I can't sing it without crying. I can't watch Don Francisco hear him play that without crying, because it's all about what Jesus has done for us. Well, today we're going to sing a few songs, not too many, but a few. So join right in. And we are going to sing I Have Waited for the Lord on High. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. And showed me from the miry clay, and showed me where to walk, from fear into security, from quicksand into the rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. From fear into security, from quicksand onto the rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord, amen. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power,
be unto the Ancient of Days, all of creation from every nation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory, every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare you to your matchless worth. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. Well, this year is the most, shall I say, unique and challenging year of my life at Resurrection Sunday, Easter time. And of course, people all over America pretty much have been told you cannot go out to your church. You have to stay home. Some states are doing some pretty ridiculous things, as far as I'm concerned, arresting people or taking on their license plate numbers because they want to go to church on Resurrection Sunday. Well, we won't get into the validity of that one way or the other, but one thing is for sure, it's a Romans 8:28 moment. It's a Kairos moment. Whatever that you think about the coronavirus and what's going on, I can say that people are finding out that it's possible to worship the Lord in fullness and truth in the Spirit in their own homes. And so the vision that I had so many years ago of houses and homes all over America being turned into churches, so to speak, in every neighborhood, every home being a home that's worshiping the Lord. And as I told people before, that's why we hang our Christian flag out in front of our house. And if every home in America would hang the Christian flag out in front of their house, we might see more Christian flags hanging again at the city hall or at the state house or any of those other places. So it's a great opportunity for us folks in ways that we didn't expect. Well, today in my quips and quotes, before we go further, you know, there are three types of truth: subjective, political, and objective. And I think it's important to be a proper skeptic. So when they say we're from the government, we're here to help you, a proper skeptic says, oh, really? How? As Mark Twain would say, I've had a lot of worries in my life, and most of which never happened. And Easter. What is Easter really about? Easter is about the power of God, his hatred of sin, and his great love for an undeserving mankind. And what is Easter all about? What does this solemn yet celebratory week say about God, about Jesus, to mankind? And what difference would Easter make in our lives today? Easter week is the most sacred of all Christian holidays. Holy days, I should say. But why is it so special? Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, is about God's plan for the ages, the humans created in his image, the reality of sin, Satan, and rebellion, God's wrath and justice against sin, and his plan of redemption. Early in Genesis, God promised that one day his heel would be bruised, but the head of Satan would be crushed. Christ's crucifixion and death on the cross bruised God's heel, but his resurrection crushed Satan's head, confirming his victory over sin and death. Christ's blood paid the debt of mankind's sins and fulfilled God's demand for justice, providing salvation for all people, all those putting their trust in the risen Savior, the promised Redeemer, receive eternal life with him. God's promise to crush Satan's head continued with God's promise to Abraham of a promised Redeemer through a promised people. Through time, Satan tried to destroy the lineage through whom the Redeemer would come. He led Pharaoh in Egypt to kill the young males and led Herod to kill all baby boys under age 2. On the mount, he tempted Jesus to avoid the cross and tried to destroy God's redemption plan. But the devil could not trick Jesus. Kings could not kill him, and haters of Israel could not destroy God's plan. That plan included a day 2,000 years ago when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a borrowed donkey. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord." But envious Pharisees said, "The world's gone after him," and they plotted his murder. That plot worked, at least physically, and Jesus gave his life to pay a debt of sin. He never owed because he had a debt of sin he could never pay. Some, by faith alone, accept Jesus as Savior and receive eternal life. Others reject him and sadly choose eternal death. It is truly a matter of life or death. So ultimately, Easter, resurrection time, is not a freestanding or initiating event. It's a confirming event. While Easter is a witness of God's power over death and sin, a fulfillment of his promise of redemption, and proof of his victory over Satan, it's also historical. Proven and witnessed by hundreds, the power of Easter is also very personal because it was Christ's willing death on the cross to shed his blood. Easter is, in fact, is a fact. It happened. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He paid our debt. This Easter, it's crucial that all who are willing to become children of God, restored in relationship to their Creator God, and as Christians mark Good Friday, they remember that the greatest battle ever fought was won. Victory was declared. The end of the war was certain. From the cross, bloody and beaten, Jesus declared, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." With those solemn words, Jesus died, fulfilling his words that no man would take his life. The perfect Lamb, God's promised redeeming sacrifice, became sin for us and died so we could live. What Satan schemed as victory over Christ was Christ's victory over Satan, death, and hell. As Christians rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because 3 days later, to the disciples' ecstatic joy, they heard the glorious words from the angel's mouth. "Remember what he said to you? He's not here. He is risen." To that we reply, "He is risen indeed. For all who trust in him alone, by faith alone, death is swallowed up in victory." And that's the best news ever. Easter is about the power of God, his hatred of sin, his great love for an undeserving mankind. There's one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it every day time, and I dream of it at night. It holds on me, grows, not lessens as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating to this force, which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause, and by their attitudes towards it. I already have been in jail because of my ideas, and necessary, I'm going to go before a firing squad. Now that's the statement of a communist, that last statement that I made. Are you as committed to the principles of American principles, biblical principles like that? We need to get serious about the truth. The enemy has a greater commitment to their cause than we have to truth. You cannot disobey God without huge consequences. Well, folks, now I want you to take your Bibles in hand, and I'm going to be real rebellious today. Instead of reading the traditional scriptures, you might say, that are in the Gospels, which I certainly hope that you're doing anyway, you know, as we call this Holy Week, whatever, a lot of people are turned off by that because they're not very ecclesiastical or they're not very liturgical or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, whether you are Orthodox and celebrate it next week, or you're celebrating this week because you're Protestant or whatever, does not make a difference to me. I don't think it makes a difference to the Lord, but the difference is that you are celebrating what the Lord did and you're proclaiming this. And I have spent all this week posting things on Facebook saying things like, yes, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she will do the reading for us today. And at 1 Corinthians 15, reading the verses from verse 12 through verse 28.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 28. From the English Standard Version. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also By a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 28 from the English Standard Version.
Praise God for the reading of his word. And I'm glad to declare, as I always declare, it's God's word and it is true. And you can rely on it. We're seeing lots of things happen in our world today that are hard for us to understand. But if you try to understand them through the local news broadcast or through somebody else's eyes, then you're not really going to get it. And this passage of Scripture, which obviously talks about the resurrection, and in some ways it's almost contradictory because it's a polemic of saying, okay, do you really believe this? Well, if you believe it, why aren't you living like you believe it? And that's the question, that was the point that I was making. If a communist is willing to die for their ideology, why are we not willing to live for Christ publicly and speaking out? And so, basically, I have to ask you this question about Jesus' crucifixion. Were you there? And of course, none of us that are living now could say that we were there. I'd say, well, if you weren't there, how do you know? How do you know that really happened? I posted on Facebook a picture of the empty tomb. Or I posted on Facebook the lintels of the doorhouse, like in Exodus, with the blood of the lamb on that. Well, were you there? How did you know? A lot of times you end up in a court. You know, the judge may say, okay, call the witnesses forward and swear them in and we'll talk to them. And the first question they think, well, how do you know this that you're saying? Were you there? Well, I can't say that I was at Golgotha's Hill. I can't say that I was there at the empty tomb. I have to believe what other people have said. But as I often euphemistically say, and somewhat humorously, when people say, God is dead, I said, no, he's not. How do you know he isn't dead? Because I just spoke to him a few minutes ago. How can he be dead? And I was speaking to him. So no, I wasn't there. And you weren't either. But you know the account of credible witnesses. There are some people that would go to court to testify that would be terrible witnesses. Most of the defending attorneys or the prosecuting attorneys, they're looking for credible witnesses. Well, there were many credible witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. After, in fact, that they were credible witnesses that saw him die. And, of course, he died the way that he said he would. He died the way Scripture had prophesied that he would. He didn't have to have any bones broken, even after he took that whipping and so forth and so on. And when they pierced his side, as you can read in the Gospels, blood and water came out because he died of a broken heart. But they didn't have to kill him. He died. He gave up, and he said it on the cross, you know, that he gave up. Sometimes in the common vernacular, say he gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. He did it voluntarily. And so when I asked the question, were you there? You'd say, no, I wasn't. But I certainly know credible witnesses throughout history that have reported it at the time that it happened. And of course, those of us that have had an experience with Christ in our present life. And some of you may be even calling yourself Christians, but you've never had an experience with Christ. You've never really been born again. You've never really known the forgiving power that Jesus has and how his blood can wash away your sins. The only reason that I'm so thankful, I don't mind admitting it at all. I was a rank sinner in the world, and I was lost, and I was heading straight for a dark pit called hell. And that's what I would have deserved because of the things that I did. I fess up. Many of you out there, you won't fess up about anything until you get caught. But the Lord knows. And so I owe him more than I could ever repay. And there were songs saying, I owe him more debt than I could ever repay. Well, I sing that song. But the way that I sing it is not just singing it, it's by living it, saying, I will tell everybody in every possible way that I can, Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead indeed. No, I wasn't there, but I am with him every day. And he has promised to me, as he promises to all those who believe in him, that want to walk with him, I am going to be with you every day until the end of time. Now, I guess most people would say, well, what does that mean? He's going to be with me every day until the end of time, but at the end of time, he won't be with me anymore? No, he's talking about eternity. Eternity never ends, so there will be no end of time. There may be end of America as we know it. There may be the end of a virus and pandemic, as everyone was calling it a pandemic. But I'll tell you, the worst epidemic and pandemic or whatever kind of demic you're talking about is lack of Jesus. Lack of Jesus. That's the real pandemic. And you don't want to be in that pandemic. You don't want that plague spread upon you. Because who's spreading that plague? I said to somebody today, think about that old story called, well, they're wondering why people in our government are doing the things they're doing. And I can tell you why. It's pretty simple. They sold their soul to the devil for fame and fortune, just like the portrait of Dorian Gray. I remember as a kid that shocked me, the portrait of Dorian Gray. This guy, Dorian Gray, was really handsome. He was a narcissist, and he was getting old, and he was getting wrinkly. And he basically said, what do I got to do? I don't want to get old. I want to stay young and handsome. And the devil came to him and said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. You serve me, and I'll make sure you always stay handsome. Well, first of all, nobody should ever believe what a demon says or Satan says, because why? Satan is a deceiver, he's a liar, and all of his demons are liars. You know, just like in the demoniac Gadara, when Jesus cast out those demons and they're trying to talk and he cast them out into pigs and everything. You don't believe demons. You believe the word of God. You believe the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, I will forgive you. And if the Lord has forgiven you, you're forgiven. Even though your parents won't forgive you, your friends won't forgive you, your children won't forgive you, your neighbors won't forgive you. The Lord does. And that's why I love him so. Because he is exactly what he said he is, who he said he is, and does exactly what he said he would do. And he's done it for me. And as he's done it for me, he can do it for you. And that's the message on this, whatever you want to call it, Easter season, Holy Week, Resurrection time. Many people want to argue over these things because the word Easter, does it shows up one time in the Bible, and people say it's pagan holiday of Astarte and all these other things, or Ishtar or whatever. But don't draw away from the real meaning of what happened. Okay, you don't want to call it Easter? Fine, I don't either. I don't celebrate Easter. I celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And I celebrate by being living in resurrection power myself until that day comes. And so why would I fear death? Death is a graduation, is a promotion. Whether it comes through a virus, whether it comes through an accident, or whatever it comes through, doesn't make a difference. But as we're promised in this passage of Scripture, Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. All things! Coronavirus, you're under Jesus' feet. Traitors in government, you're under Jesus' feet. And so for we move in a victory in Christ. We sang that song years and years ago. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. So if you're not living a victorious life in Christ, what's wrong? And I'll ask you the question, were you there? I guess you weren't. Because if you were there, you would have, and the there is there then, and the there is there now. I'm not trying to mix you up here, but the there then and the there now is still the same there. And are you there in the victory in Christ? And if you're not, why not? Why not? Why waste the opportunity that the Lord has given you? No matter what you've done, wherever that you've done it, the Lord will forgive you. But you got to ask him. And you got to go to him just like Peter did after he denied the Lord. He fell at the Lord's feet and asked his forgiveness. And what did the Lord say to him? Hey, Peter, get out of here. I'm not going to forgive you after all I did for you. And then you deny me even to a serving girl. What's the matter, big tough guy? I'm not going to forgive you. No, Jesus looked in his eyes with love and said, rise up, Peter. And so Peter did rise up. And instead of fearing for his life anymore, he went out. And it said when he was crucified, he asked them to make sure they crucified him upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was. Folks, you're going to die. You can't stop it. The only people that aren't going to die are like Elijah that went in chariots of fire, or Enoch, or somebody like that. But for most of us, we're going to die of something, sometime. And then what? Be confident that you can answer the question, then what? And if you're not confident, you don't know. If somebody says, well, I don't know where I'm going to go. Well, then you're not saved. Because if you're saved and you received the redemptive blood of Christ, and Christ, and we just don't praise the name of Jesus. A lot of the songs and praising the name of Jesus, yes, well, it's more than that. We're praising Jesus. We're in his presence praising him. We're not just singing about him. We're not just but talking about him. And when we're praying, we're not supposed to be just praying about him. We're supposed to be praying with him and to him in his presence. And isn't it wonderful to know, those of you that are meeting in your living room instead of being in your 2,000 or 3,000 member church building, that Jesus said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there will I be. And for a lot of people in this world, in places that persecute Christians, and many do, and America's moving in that direction, it seems, also. But there are some places in the world that for you to meet in a large gathering would definitely mean you'd be destroyed, you'd be killed. So many people are meeting secretly, as the early Christians did in the catacombs and the caves around Rome. Now, however that you're meeting, Jesus wants to be there with you. Jesus wants to save you. And there's no other way to be saved except by Jesus. And trust me. Well, you don't have to trust me, but at least believe this part. I tried a lot of ways to get clean. I tried a lot of ways to avoid the real commitment of accepting Christ as my Savior and being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I tried a lot of ways. You know what? None of them worked. None. And I'm not going to take the time to list the 101 different ways. I could make a book out of it. 101 ways that don't work for salvation. There's only one way. and Jesus is that way. And he said, I will be with you every day until the end of life. That's very comforting. So I ask you again, were you there? Are you there now? And if you're not, you better get there fast. As fast as you can, lickety-split, get there. And this is my prayer for all of you listening to this, present and future. By whatever means you get to listen to this, and the many other gospel preachers in the world today that are preaching. Many of you listen to a lot of preachers that are preaching drivel and fluff and stuff that means nothing, will do you really no good. You're more interested in worldly success motivation than you are in true biblical salvation by Jesus alone. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be in all in all. And that word subjection. I am in subjection to Jesus Christ. I am not a subject of the British crown. I am not a subject of the American government. I'm not a subject of any organization. But I am a subject of King Jesus. And this is my prayer for you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' presence. According to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach, the only way, the only salvation, the only life. Amen and amen.